Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, the host, and we're the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We're back with our monthly talk with Bob Kudla as we talk about economic, political, and sometimes social trends, and has an uncanny accuracy rate here. And of course, he's involved with Trade Genius. You can find out more, and we'll come back to this a little later if you go to davelovestrading.com. We're going to actually talk about an offer he has, but we're going to hit some really important things today. Everything between gold, Bitcoin, what's happening with that, stocks. You've heard me talk about a potential bilateral agreement between Russia and the United States. Bob is on that big time. We're going to talk about the effect of AI, what's going to happen with the dollar. And boy, are we going to have enough time here? And then also, why is Bitcoin so low? We're going to be asking Bob that too, because I think this is ready for a breakout. We'll see if he agrees. Welcome to the show, Bob. We have a lot to unpack here. It's busy, busy times. Where do we want to start with all these topics? Which one do you think is a good entry point?
We can talk about Bitcoin first because it ties in other things. And I'll try to talk at 1.5 speed so people don't have to speed us up.
Okay.
So, you know, what you have here is, you know, Bitcoin hit a high of around 124,000 back late fall, early winter, and then gold took off. And so what happened is you had a rotation out of Bitcoin and into gold, and these things happen. So Bitcoin now has a lot of leverage built into the system. Before institutions got involved, there was really no leverage. So, and actually Bitcoin swung even more aggressively. You know, you're talking about 80, 90% down moves before it made new highs. And so around $68,000, that was basically the resistance area from the last cycle. It broke through that, ran all the way up to 124,000 area, and then basically came all the way back down and tested that area as support. That is actually normal functioning bull market. It's just that it's huge because Bitcoin makes these outsized moves. So at the same time, you know, the money's already out there, right? Bitcoin money went away, gold money went in. Now, if you want to rotate again, you got to get people out of gold and silver and back into Bitcoin. And the other thing that happened at the same time, Bitcoin seems to be related to the software tech model. And at the same time, software has been, and technology has been getting wrecked. And so that's, so Bitcoin was suffering a twofer. It held on. It made higher lows than from last week, which is an indication that at least a tradable bottom is in. Are we going to make all-time highs or is it going to be a lower high? It's to be seen. You know, Bitcoin has never gone through a recession. So, you know, so there's some things that they don't know about the asset class that still need to be answered. And so our view right now, in fact, we change our allocation. We go long MicroStrategy through a stock called MSTY, but we measure it against a short position in Bitcoin called WNTR, not Bitcoin, but MicroStrategy. And we've been trading that at an allocation of 30% long, 70% short. And this is the allocation that provides these huge dividends. So that trade has been working out for us in spades. Well, we just went back to 50-50 long short on that allocation because we think there's going to be a move higher. And if it continues on, we'll change that allocation to 70-30. I share that with people because you need to look into that. And if you trade with us, I put that information out in the room for the benefit of our subscribers. Bob, so, in fact, we put that out this morning.
Okay. I want to come back to the projection, but I want to go back to MicroStrategies. I've reported on my show that I've been told, and I'm not saying this is definitive, but MicroStrategies has engaged in practices that have artificially suppressed the price of Bitcoin. And the theory is that it allows the elite to buy up a lion's share before they let it go natural and explode. How does that relate to what you're saying here?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I doubt Michael Saylor is, you know, he has a lot of his own net worth built into strategy. So I don't think it was any conscience to make a bad deal. I just think he's a zealot And so there's no bad price for Bitcoin. Just like a realtor, there's no bad time to buy a home. And so what happened with Strategy is that it's become part of a hedge fund with Bitcoin and Strategy on either side of it. But when Bitcoin started to fall, MicroStrategy has is in a weak position, because they can't really monetize it to the extent that they want to. They have preferred shares out there that they got to pay dividends on, and they have some debt out there. So as Bitcoin was falling, Strategy was falling along with it, but it's going to go where Bitcoin goes. And the reason why Bitcoin was falling was because of leverage longs, but also people have been waiting to get into this new legislation around crypto that's supposed to be Bitcoin positive. But as you said, and this is the part where I think you're absolutely 100% correct, is that the big money has been left on the sidelines with Bitcoin now three or four times. They don't understand it. It's hard for them to manipulate it, and so they keep missing the move. And so this time they're all on board, and this is where you get JP Morgan and all these other guys involved here, is that they're beating up Bitcoin. They're not beating up Strategy. And it just happens that Strategy falls with Bitcoin. And so now you're at a point now where that legislation is likely to pass. The easy money's out of the short trade. And when you leverage short Bitcoin, the reversals are scary. And so it's scary if you're short. And so we're looking for a relief rally in that way. MicroStrategy's problem is that I don't think he's a very good trader, and he's really put the company at risk. And today he announced that they're going to take loans out against their Bitcoin to buy more Bitcoin, and also to pay any outstanding obligations. No, it's one of two things. It's that they really have a good sense that the bottom's in, which we agree with, or that they're like that hawk that's flying down and the mouse is in the corner with the middle finger out. It's basically, this is his bet the farm moment, okay? But I think he's going to get rewarded here on that, and allow him to restructure some things, and then he can always, call that loan back out, if he gets the price he wants. But knowing him, he's on a leverage roll right now. So that's what I think was going to happen with Strategy. And like I said, we're long. Coinbase had earnings out last night, and they popped today nicely. So everything's kind of tying in on that. And Coinbase is also suffering because this legislation hasn't been cleared. It's all around Tether. The banks want to get their teeth hooked into this new asset class. And so they've been ring fencing Coinbase out of it here, but it looks like all that stuff's coming to an end. And I think you'll see Bitcoin ripping from here.
Oh, that's now you're talking about Michael Saylor, though, right?
I am.
And it's interesting because he was the target of these rumors. He kept being mentioned prominently by people that were telling me what was going on. But there's also a feeling too that above MicroStrategies and what you described, JP Morgan may be the organization with the puppet strings on this. Do you think there's any truth in that?
Oh, I think they're the puppet master in a lot of things. I just don't know how it relates to. I have no insight on how it relates to Strategy, but JP Morgan's knee deep in the silver trade. They're knee deep in the Epstein trade. They're knee deep into a lot of things that happen in the U.S. So, but
Speaking of
yeah.
the silver, I want to bring this up, the silver thing. Is JP Morgan mired in silver certificates? Because if they are, they can't meet margin calls.
Yeah, I think JP Morgan is actually long silver. I think some of the Swiss banks are short silver. So,
In the Bank of
yeah,
London too,
JP Morgan flipped from being short to being long silver.
okay.
That's why silver started to go up, because they stopped suppressing it. But I think there's some banks in Switzerland, if memory serves, that are short it. So this I think they engineered the collapse here, if you will. I mean, we went from 100 and whatever it, $30 to $80 or some crazy amount in one day because of you know, they blew up the leverage longs. But you know, look, at the end of the month, they have to stand for delivery. So you can start seeing silver and gold going up too.
Okay.
Everything, it could be everything, all the commodities going up at one time. And plus 3-day weekend, potential war again, right? So all the safety trades are up this week.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Yeah, 3-day weekend. Yeah, exactly. And this is Friday. I don't want to raise anyone's paranoia, but this is Friday. But we've talked about gold, silver, Bitcoin. How's the dollar doing? Where do you see that going?
The prediction that the dollar is going to die is definitely a misnomer. The dollar is the last thing that's gonna fall here. Remember, Bitcoin was going to destroy the dollar, and then the yuan was going to destroy the dollar, and before that, the euro was going to destroy the dollar. There's nothing else out there, and this ties into the Russian thing that I want to talk about. I know you're talking about, we were off mic here, and I want to get to the trilateral, that rumor going around about it, chop the world up into 3 or 4 parts.
Yeah,
But
China, US, and Russia. Yeah.
right, but Russia came out this week with a working paper basically saying, you know, we're just thinking out loud, guys. What if we cut a deal with America and we put a free trade deal together, and we'll come back into the dollar system, and we'll give you guys first mover advantage into reinvesting into our industries, yada yada yada. And I know Trump's very interested in that. And you know, this is the thing about the Democrats poisoning the well on this Russia thing. You know, for you people listening that you think Russia is all bad, we want Russia in our orbit. Okay, we don't have to like Putin. Okay, we don't have to like what they do, but we need to have a working relationship with this country that we're not always pointing a gun at each other. They have all the natural resources that we need. He's hopelessly unable to monetize his resources because he has a dying population, and he has a lot of land area that he has to defend, not from the United States, but from China. And he has very educated science STEM community, I should say. And so I think it's really a match made in heaven in the sense of being able to cut a deal. You know, here's the other thing too. It makes NATO obsolete, okay? It gives the Europeans time now to say, hey, look, we just cut a deal with Russia. You know, we could back off our NATO commitments. You could build up your European forces. And at the same time, you're talking about companies like ExxonMobil and the big ag companies and the big tech companies. And then the dollar will just absolutely explode higher because BRICS is done. Okay. You know, BRICS is, you know, Russia, China, India, and Brazil. And without Russia, it's over. And then you have another brick in the wall where the United States is essentially controlling the oil markets. We would have successfully wrestled the oil markets away from OPEC and back into the United States. Unfreaking believable. And I think that's going to happen, you know, and I think Putin's absolutely on board with this. I know Trump is too. It's just that we got to deal with the nail biters and the ankle biters in Europe and United States that want to keep this war going because it's a distraction from other things they have to fix.
Exactly.
So,
I couldn't
and
agree more.
then we go back to your trilateral idea. I was never on board with it, not because it doesn't like look make sense from a geographical location, but there's no way that Korea and Japan will ever subjugate themselves to China, ever, ever. And so, you know, China and the Philippines aren't gonna. What happened is China poisoned the well, right? And so the Filipinos hate them, the Thais hate them, the Vietnamese fought a war against them. So there's no way that China is going to be allowed to be the end all be all and be the dominant player in Asia. And why would we? Why would we cut such a deal? You know, China is dying. You know, we just brought exports back to 7.5% of our imports from China, up from 22 or 23% 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, and China demographically is having trouble. And those are my alerts going off, if you can hear them. And so demographically, they're done. Financially, they're done. Militarily, we're finding out that their equipment is hopelessly corrupted. Xi's having some sort of Stalinistic purge going on. And so I doubt we would do anything there. And I'm sure Trump's whispering in Putin's ear all day long. Boy, I bet China would love Siberia. So yeah, so I think, you know, and I know you said with Russia, I would think the bilateral would be between Europe, United States, and China, with Russia being part of Europe.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Do you know that Trump is talking to European leaders today? And I bet this is a topic of discussion.
Who is?
Trump.
Ah.
He's talking to Europe today. Mean, that's a headline that came out about an hour ago.
You want to hear something funny? Denmark just bought $150 million worth of anti-air missiles from the United States. And and the joke is to defend Denmark from the United States.
Yeah, but they can pick them up in Greenland, right?
Yeah. But I mean, that just showed you whatever kabuki theater that whole thing was.
I hear you exactly. You know, this is something I hadn't planned to ask you, but you've raised the question in my mind. We go back, and Tulsi Gabbard has fully exposed this. I just wish there were prosecutions. But the Russian collusion hoax. And I believe, in fact, I was speaking at a conference with General Flynn at Clay Clark's conference in Tulare, California, a few years ago. And I asked General Flynn, and he says it was to keep us and Russia apart. He flat told me that. And I'm thinking he's right. I think that the globalist sector, the Obama people, they wanted to keep America apart from Russia. And they feared that Putin and America would form such an alliance that their interests would be negated. And the more I look at this, Bob, I think that's why they did the Russian collusion hoax.
Yeah, and I think that's why they picked the fight between Ukraine and Russia too. You know, so yeah, look, I wouldn't call it a natural ally of the United States, but wait, as Trump puts it, you're a fellow European. We need stuff from you. You know, Trump very rarely says we need stuff from people. He said we need stuff from you, but you need us more.
That's true.
And so it's a natural deal. And you know, Putin has to be worried about China on his flank, right? He doesn't have to worry about the Europeans, okay? Because if America decides to do a deal with Russia, Europe has no choice but to go along with it, okay? And you know, and look, United States is doing Russia a favor here by cutting China out of the box on Venezuelan oil, right? Because they were getting it for free. Now Putin could go to China and say, hey, we're not giving you discounted oil anymore because we're the only game in town, you know? And so I think, that's why Putin's been pretty quiet about a lot of stuff, because it actually benefits him. But they need to do a deal. They absolutely need to do a deal. This whole notion of Russia being an enemy is contrived for somebody else's enrichment.
No, I totally agree with you. But there's one variable, though, that I'm wondering about. Doesn't Putin have to show more of a victory with Ukraine than he currently is because he has to answer to the oligarchs, the expenditure of resources and so forth?
He can just go to the oligarchs saying, I'm bringing the Americans in. You guys are going to get rich beyond sin.
That's a good answer. That's a really good. I agree with that. That's a really good answer. Well, what's going on with high tech AI and all that? What's that sector doing?
Well, you know, software has been getting hit pretty hard. And a lot of people bought software because of the AI revolution.
Sure.
And they're all realizing now that the AI agents, that's, you know, the bots within the AI, can basically write all the software that these other software companies are selling. And there was something really interesting was said yesterday by Elon Musk. He said, everybody that has code like Python and C++ and PineScript and all this other stuff out there, in the next 12 to 18 months, it's gone. It's gone because the AIs can operate at the machine language level. So we're going to be working at the speed of imagination. So just like you and I just did this the last 2 days, I just wrote code that would have cost me thousands and thousands of dollars and it would have took me months. I was iterating these as customers were giving me feedback on the code. I was iterating the code. That's how fast this thing can just adjust. And it cost me $30 a month for access to Super Grok. Okay. And every day it gets better and smarter. And so what's happening here is that a lot of software companies, you know, it's really funny. My daughter's roommate is going back to school and she had a choice to go back to school for like electronics or go back to school to be a programmer. And I said to her, we all had dinner together yesterday. And I said, do not become a programmer. That's a dead job. You don't need a programmer anymore at all. I said, you need to, everything you need to do, you have to be able to physically touch. Okay. And so all those jobs are gone. They said 100% of entry-level white-collar jobs will be irrelevant in 18 months. And 85% of white-collar jobs could theoretically be eliminated. Now, having said that, there's a lot of friction there because most of the companies are under 100 employees. And there's no way they're just going to operate with skeleton crews because that's not how life works. But it's going to open up vistas. Like a guy like me, like I said, you know, we work off our algorithms. I have to either rely on my partner who's busy enough, or I have to go out third party and write this stuff. Well, I don't have to do either anymore. My partner's been on vacation the last 2 weeks and I'm writing and updating code for our next generation product set. And it's perfect. The code is perfect. And we can back test it and refine it and, you know, to optimize it. And we can optimize on the go. And you can just iterate like that. It's just absolutely amazing. And so, you know, and now take me and multiply it by millions of people out there. And all of a sudden, a lot of these big corporations that had advantages because they had, you know, I hear like China has 100,000 engineers at their battery facility. Do you know the AI agents, all right, you know, with Claude and ChatGPT and all those guys, they have tens of thousands of engineers. You know how many engineers work at XAI, which is Grok? He has 30. And then he has 30 people on a special assignment. So total of 60 engineers. That's it. And they're at a point now where Grok is becoming their helper in terms of expanding Grok. You know, so it's becoming, you know, self-replicating, if you will.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. It sounds like it's that. So Grok is writing its own program for improvement?
Yeah, yeah. You can actually tell it to, and that's what I did with my program too. When I started, it was making a specific mistake in PineScript. And the mistake wasn't because the math was wrong. It's just that PineScript has a peculiarity around what they call line breaking when you do a string of information. And once I told it, I said, you know, you're trying to make something look neat, but you can't line break. Well, once I taught it two or three times, every time I wrote code now, it specifically tells me in the input before it releases the code is there's no line break. So I'm getting no errors. And that's what this thing does. It learns from its mistakes. What it could do last week is exponentially less than what it could do this week will be exponentially less than what it could do next week. And so coding jobs are gone. Computer science jobs are gone. They're talking about lawyers. I mean, you know, $800 an hour lawyers just to write a letter to somebody is going to go away too, you know, and you're talking Grok and those guys are better at reading, you know, ultrasounds than radiologists can. And so all these guys that had these chokeholds on certain industries, excuse me, are going to get blown out. And it's just really scary. I mean, I would predict to you, if it wasn't any regulatory capture, in 5 years, your first visit to a doctor is you're going to walk in and you're going to actually be communicating with some sort of robot machine that will take all your vitals and give you an initial scan, an initial reaction. So you pick, and they said accountants are gone. What do you need an accountant for? I'm plugging in my stuff for my tax return. I'm giving it to Grok to look for any obvious errors or what they call audit risks and stuff like that, to make sure everything's perfect. And then I hand it to my CPA. Well, you know what he's doing, and I'm saying might not him personally, but in general, they're giving it to the AI agents to verify.
No.
Okay. And so, why in 5 years now, why would you pay a premium when a machine can do it for you for free? Okay. And that's what's going to happen here. I mean, now the established guys out there, they don't have enough CPAs because people are retiring. So that's why I said the short term, it may not be so much. But now my CPA could probably do 10 times the work because they could feed the data in raw. Okay. I'm going to do a presentation. In fact, that's one of the things that we're going to do is I'm going to give a free presentation on our system, our algorithms, our indicators to anybody that signs up this month, Dave, for your service, is that I ran it through Grok to look for anything that I should be clarifying or add detail to, or does it make sense? I mean, that was something my proofreading that thing could have took me days. It took it 10 minutes. Okay. Then it asked me if you wanted me to rewrite anything for me. Okay. I'm keeping that myself, but which is amazing. And so the education environment is going to get blown up. And, and because we're scleric here with all the sclerotic here with all the unions and stuff in education, other countries like in Africa, they bypass landlines for for phones. They're going to bypass the education, and they're going to be learning. They're going to get MIT level instructors
Really?
in their schools for free because they're just going to be using Super Grok.
My gosh,
So
yeah.
it's going to be an amazing democratization, but also pretty scary. What I tell people, this is highly deflationary. And so, if you're hanging your skis out on debt or you're asset heavy, like in real estate with a lot of leverage, you need to be selling. Okay. We're selling our rental properties, and we're lucky because we're still in California. Outside of California, it's already starting to grip. And Arizona's probably okay because there's a lot of businesses moving in. But California is not going to withstand this onslaught either, and so you need to be out of debt to get ready for the deflationary onslaught. You'll be looking at zero bound debt again, so you want to be buying TLT, and in the software world, you want to be buyers of companies that can utilize the agent like Palantir, but Palantir still fell by 50%. And still has another 30% to go before it becomes in the buy range again. So, exciting times. Volatility is our friend in my business, but I don't think people know how fast and how hard this baseball bat's coming. It's going to be scary. And you can blame anything you want to blame, but if you don't do it, other people will. And I went back to China for a second because 100,000 engineers in a battery technology, Musk is doing it with 1/100th of those amount of people. And technology is changing so fast that the more you invest in the physical plant, the harder it is for you to react to it. I'll give you another example. It's pretty wild. In Japan, okay, and I have a three-car garage, okay, so multiply that by three times. And that's the size of the factory in Japan. Okay, this factory is run by one person. Okay, one person produces 400,000 screws, 10 different types. And he gets his orders in the night before, so he knows how much to
Yep.
produce. And he just runs the machines. And all he does is load in the morning, just loads up the material And at the end of the day, he does the final burring and packaging, and the packaging's automated too. It's and 400,000 screws. So my point is that, you know, you're not going to need to buy 10 million screws from China, ship it across, when you could probably put that same factory in Tucson, right?
That's why we have to win the AI battle. I agree. I hear you.
Yeah, so it's going to be really, really wild. So, you know, Team USA on this whole process, okay? So anyway, I get so excited about this. This is amazing. I told my daughter, embrace this. Get ahead of it. Okay, my daughter cuts hair. So styling, but I showed her the hair cutting robot. She's not too worried yet, but her roommate's involved in high tech but on the physical side of it, and so she's going back to school I mean, this kid, she's only 25. Her roommate, my daughter, is the same age. They she already makes $80,000 a year. Because she's in the right industry, and there's not enough of her. So,
I got a question along those lines, and it does right where you're hitting employment. I'm glad your daughter has made that choice, but I wonder, are there going to be enough jobs for people?
Mm-hmm. Short term, for sure. Because we have so many people retiring, but the wages aren't going to be there. Okay, we're already seeing a 4% reduction in starting wages from like 4 or 5 years ago. So we're already starting to see the pressure on wages. But short term, yeah. And people are going to have to be willing to move. You know, the problem is, you know, the Modella narrative, right? Where you're living in a city and you're a barista and you're getting coffee in the morning and wine at night. That all goes away. You know, people are going to be moving out to Tucson. They're going to be moving out to Denver. They're going to be moving off the coast, back to where resources are being extracted and where factories are going to be built. I mean, if you look at Arizona, it's going to be boomtown. There's not enough workers in Arizona with all the fabs they're putting in there.
But won't AI compensate for that lack of workers?
Well, yes and no. I mean, look, we're building fresh here. So it's not like we're starting with 500. We're going to end up with 100. We're going to start with 100. It's the 10,000 that are leaving China that are in big trouble.
Yeah.
Look, Great Depression 2.0 is going to hammer China, and it's going to hammer Europe, okay? But the United States is going to be a net beneficiary of this because we're the biggest debtor and the biggest importer. But, you know, in 2 years, the way the trends are going, we will not be at a import deficit. We will balance the book. And that's the reason why the dollar will remain strong, you know, and will balance the book. And if Trump continues on or is allowed to continue on with the elimination of fraud and the continuation of the tariffs, is that we can pretty much wipe out the current account deficit, not the debt, over the next 4 years too. So a lot of things are coming that way, which also strengthen the dollar. Yeah. Now, you know who opposes that the most, don't you? The bankers, because the bankers love debt, right?
They built the economy based on debt. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so this is going to be the war. So Trump's trying to basically we have assassins out on each other here. You know, you have the bankers that don't want this environment, and you want Trump, who does not believe in central banking. You know, so I think that's going to be the big war that's happening right now.
Well, I have a question along those lines, because this is how I'm beginning to see things. Trump has aligned himself with the digital crowd from Silicon Valley, like Peter Thiel. I almost think there's a war going on between digital control of the economy and the old debt-based system from the central banks.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And it's not just Peter Thiel; it's Elon Musk.
Exactly. The whole group. Yeah,
it's you know, chlamydia, whatever his name is, all those guys, and more and more. I mean, you're talking even. You're talking even Zuckerberg has gotten religion, right? You know, a lot of these guys are realizing that, you know, being in bed with the Democrats, which is slash globalists, which is slash, you know, the central banking, Rothschilds is not good for your long-term health.
Totally agree with that. And I said that when Zuckerberg started to talk to Trump during the campaign. I
We
saw
moved to
it. I see the
Florida. We
shift. Yeah.
bailed out of California with the wealth tax. See, California backed off on their they were gonna do mileage tax. They kiboshed it. People were screaming, you know. And I mean, these people are such idiots. The people that's gonna hurt the most would be the Hispanics, you know, because they're the ones that travel the farthest to work. The enclaves in which they live in is not where their customers are. You know, and so it would absolutely kill them. And so that got kiboshed. And, you know, now they're chasing after Prop 13 and they're chasing after this, that, or the other. But they keep losing people. And this wealth tax that they promised that they're going to bring to the people of California is all the billionaires said, well, we'll just simply leave. And they are, they're leaving.
Yeah, I've done a lot of pieces on that. The independent trucker fiasco, the shutting down of the manufacturing plants, the refinery crisis. I mean, it's like California is in self-destruction mode right now. There's no question about that. Hey, I wanted to link this back to what you do. And I want to say this to my audience. There's been a lot of interesting topics we've hit here. Bob's livelihood depends on being correct, kind of being very serious about that. There is a correlation between how correct he is and how he does financially. And when you were talking about AI rewriting a lot of things, you put me in the mindset of your algorithm. And I'm not going to ask you to expose any proprietary secrets, but it's almost like I'm wondering now how AI your algorithm is because it's been so right. You've won two-thirds of your trades, your ROI is tremendously high. And it's been that way since I've known you for 10 years. And you thrive in crisis in the market. Your people are still making money when things are in crisis. Is it because of your algorithm?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we lapped the market. So, you know, we did 100% better than the market did last year. And that's not me talking. That's my customers managing
Yeah.
my, you know, managing the stuff I put out there. Yeah. Look, I have insight and, you know, I'm gonna set humility aside for a second. I think that's my gift. You know, being able to see around corners, I think I have good insight and, but what I try to do is I try to translate that into action. But I don't make a move without the algorithm telling me that it's there. And I don't mind telling people what the algorithm does. There's only so many moving parts in trading, right? You know, you have price change, price level, and volume. And so, you know, it's how the mix of that works based on historical, you know, standard deviation models that tell you whether what you can expect from a probabilistic standpoint. Remember, if it was easy, they call it collecting, not trading, right? So, you know, when you're at two-thirds or three-quarter win rate, you're pretty much at the highest level you can be to generate enough income because I could be 100% right, but I'll never put enough trades on to make money. So you almost have to lose some money to be able to make the most money. You know, it's like a quadratic formula, right? So we like the area in which we're in. We moved up our win rate from 63 to 68%.
Wow.
You know, we think that's probably and that's average across 4 years. So our latest we're pushing three quarters win rate. But we think that's probably the max you can get because you won't generate enough trades to be able to do it. And you don't want to have the concentration risk. Right, you want to put enough different trades on because trades do blow up. Whether you can have the best system in the world, but Trump opens his mouth and you can instantly lose a lot of money. And I say that as a Trumper. You know, he's something you can't code for. Okay, he's an anomaly in the system, and you have to expect that. So that's what we do, and we've been doing this for a long time. And
Bob,
look,
can I interject something here though? Because I want to bring this back to the audience real quick. You offer training and I hate to say guidance, but you make information available where people can make good decisions. And you've done this for years at Trade Genius. A lot of my audience is with you right now and they're making money. It's a great second income. Some people turn it into first income. And so you have an opportunity for people to get in and get to be a part of this. Okay, but you've also got a special right now. And before we run out of time, I wanted you to make sure that you cover what people can get if they get in now with this special.
Yeah, well, we have two specials. One is if you want to be in the voice room, or one if you just want to be in the chat room. But either way, you get access to the algorithm, right? What you're really getting from us is the output from the algorithm. I put trades out every day to validate the system and also to help people, see trades, right? And you get into either the chat room or the voice room. But what I'm offering in addition to that is that and being able to actually do some online training for anybody who signs up this month, take advantage of this offer. It could be one person, it could be 10 people. Whoever signs up, I'll give them an hour of my time and walk them through specifically how to trade. And whenever I've done this in the past, it's been extremely well received, helps people get a jump start. We'll work right from the algorithm indicators that we have. And people will walk out of that room ready to go. And the nice thing about it is you don't have to know anything about trading. You just have to be able to, look at and be able to read the tea leaves of the indicator. And we're making them increasingly easy to understand of see trade, take trade. And with our latest algorithm, we literally have a triangle with a green triangle saying, you should probably take this trade here. And then we'll tell them where the stop is and where the profit is. So that's what I'm offering your listeners. I don't do this very often, but we've been doing this together for a long time, and it's a great system. And we only charge quarterly, so it's the risk is low, but the reward is extremely high, and we know what we're doing. And my partner's a crypto savant, and so he got people out of the long position. Most crypto people are kind of religious in their focus. You never sell it. Well, that's just stupid. It went down 50%. So if you buy and buy low, you end up becoming richer. So now we get back to 124,000. All the people that just stayed true didn't make any money, but the people that followed us are up 100% from where they were before.
Yeah,
So
that's amazing.
we just provide people that insight. We're not gold bugs. We're not crypto nuts. We're profit whores, and we just want to make money and run it that way. So,
Okay.
but anyway,
Okay, let me give out
we
some
love what we
information
do.
here though, okay, because people need to know where to go. All you got to do to facilitate this special, Bob, I've never seen the one side of the special you just offer. I've never seen it in 10 years I've been with you. So this is a unique opportunity. And people are making money from our audience on this, people. Go to DaveLovesTrading.com. DaveLovesTrading.com. And you'll get right into it. You'll get the offers. This is a great deal. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bob's livelihood depends on him being right on these economic issues. And for 10 years, Bob, you've been right a hell of a lot more than I've ever think that maybe you weren't.
I think we've done a good job. People told me to get out of energy last year, and that it's gonna fall. And I just said, oh, energy is gonna rip. And we've had a
Yeah.
great time. Look at ExxonMobil. It's my family's biggest position. We're up 40% on it in 6 weeks, 40%.
Wow.
And that's just the beginning of the move. And so it's gonna pull back a little bit here. It needs to breathe. And that's healthy for people. People are afraid of loss. You got to understand whether it's consolidation or if the move's over. And we can see that. We know which one. We know the difference. And then you take that next bite of the apple. So, but anyway, I
Sounds
talked
great.
about a lot of stuff today. I'm pretty pumped, as you
I
can
could
tell.
tell.
And we're doing really well, so I'm really happy about that. But I want to help people, because a lot of times when people don't sign up, it's because they're scared. And I want to help people, and I want to help people to, you don't have to be afraid of the markets. Especially if you're retired, you're going to need to make money, bottom line.
I think that's great. That is awesome. It's a good opportunity. And this is great information for people to know. Even if there wasn't a stock market, to hear the analysis today is worth the price of admission, so to speak. Anyway, go to DaveLovesTrading.com. Our guest has been Bob Kudla from Trade Genius. Take advantage, folks. We'll see you back here again. Thanks for joining us, Bob. Thank you for joining us. I'll talk to you next month. I made a half-hour recording I'm not going to release. Do I think Charlie Kirk was killed and insider participation was part of it? I don't know. But I will tell you this, there are some people like Project Constitution that are making a case worth looking at. What I can make is the Erica Kirk anomalies keep adding up. And when we have all these, shall we say, innuendos, minor faux pas, white lies, they add up collectively to something. And I got a few more for you. I'm going to run by you. The people on this planet have had enough. The Charlie Kirk thing has awakened many people in this country. And no amount of censorship or cease and desist letters is going to stop that. The horse is out of the barn, and people can't unsee what they have seen. I'll tell you this. I found when I was looking at Project Constitution's allegations about inside job with Charlie, I was looking at the corporations he named, and I need to have him come on my show. So please reach out to me. Let's close the loops on the allegations. But I want to say this, and I want to say it very clearly. If what he says is true, it's the Kennedy assassination all over again. Kennedy's Secret Service was compromised like crazy. I'm going to tell you about that. And then I'm going to tell you, go look at Project Constitution and let's see if you think we need to close loops on this. And I'm not criticizing him. It takes a tremendous amount of intestinal fortitude to do what he's doing, right or wrong. And I think the odds favor he's more right than he's wrong. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I'm going to say this to the perpetrators of Charlie, and it certainly isn't Tyler James Robinson. The public notion of justice is closing in on you, and you can't stop it. And there's going to be mistakes made by some people, but overall, there seems to be a collective direction and a very clear picture is emerging, one that I thought was true very early on. But it's here, and there's no denying what's going on. There's a power shift going on in America, a colonization of American sovereignty and the Christian religion, protection of illicit money activities. This is stunning stuff. I encourage everyone, go look at Danks, go look at Wolves in Finance, and then go in this order, look at Project Constitution. And I'm going to give to you something that you should be able to sink your teeth into. I want to give you a framework. Now, I could be wrong. The Kennedy assassination may not apply here, but it sure smells this way. When John Kennedy went to Dallas for fundraising, he was a fool, and his Secret Service didn't do their job, or they should have all been fired for incompetence, because 10 days earlier, the Miami police were running an undercover sting on a gun running operation, and the guy said on tape, and it was played on A&E. The guy said, "Well, yeah, these guns are good. They're going to use them to take out Kennedy." How are they going to do that? High-powered rifle from a building when Kennedy comes here. Sorry, folks, if you don't want to believe this, but it was broadcast on A&E. It was picked up by other services. The Men That Killed Kennedy, the six-part series, Nigel Turner, that they ran this. This is 10 days before he was killed. So people have asked me, did Kennedy know he was a marked man? Hell yes, he knew. So let's go to Dallas that day. And I'm saying this to you because I'm anticipating you're going to go visit the sites. But first, I need to get a sponsorship promoted here. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. And we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And they are one of our primary sponsors. And they are fantastic. And with one bank already failing this year and the fact that they can keep your money indefinitely because you're an unsecured creditor under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010, they can keep your retirement indefinitely. Don't you think maybe you should lessen the burden and get your money away from a failing system backed by the dollar, which is losing money every single minute you've got your money in the bank? Keep operating capital, get the rest of it out. Go to gold and silver, grow your portfolio with an appreciating asset, and Noble Gold can do that for you. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. And qualifying accounts, get 10 of these 1 ounce silver coins. This is the time to do it. You may not get a second chance. Okay, Kennedy is driving down Main Street and they change his parade route 3 days before. And it turns on from Houston to Elm. He's going 14 miles an hour, Secret Service violation, illegal. The windows are open. There was no Secret Service walkthrough. Illegal. Illegal. He's the lead car, illegal. I could go on and on and on and on. Secret Service agents should have had the bubble on because Kennedy was in a hostile city with Adlai Stevenson, a government official, chased down the street 2 weeks earlier in Dallas by people who were mad about the administration's position on immigration. Big civil rights stuff going on. Kennedy was a proponent of civil rights. It should have been considered to be a hostile city, bubble on, Secret Service on the side of the car. The 113th Regiment of San Antonio was supposed to provide security on the grassy knoll, canceled by the Secret Service and General Lemon. Why? Why? And they published the parade route. Illegal. Illegal. And just coincidentally, the Patsy took a job 4 months before, and they changed the parade route to go in front of the building so they could frame him. And then how were they paid? Well, we know the assassins were originally paid in heroin. They laid low for 2 weeks. And then they got out of the country. They went to South America, and Steve Revelle, journalist that Jim Mars knew pretty well, he found the paymaster that converted the heroin into American cash, and he described the assassination the same way as the head of the Corsican Mafia. They got the original contract from this deep state in America through the American Mafia to the Corsican Mafia in Marseille, France, the old French heroin connection. And their assassin, Lucien Sarti, was the one who did the deed. But there were three groups in Dealey Plaza that day. I digress. But here's the deal. There's a manual that Fletcher Prouty uncovered called the CIA Manual for Latin American Assassinations. And the main point was, if you want to assassinate a political figure, compromise the security. Now, having said that, go to X and put Project Constitution in there and see if what you think he's reporting there is legitimate. I investigated what he did. And man, oh man, oh man, did I find illegalities. And I'm going to hold my expose on this, but I will say this: CO 501c3s cannot give money to 501c4s, and they turn it into political action. Illegal. They also cannot receive commissions for donations raised in a C3. Illegal. But that was done. That's what I found, and I have the evidence. I'm going to hold that until the Project Constitution work is fully analyzed. And how do we get it fully analyzed? You're going to send out share notices here. You're going to hype this, and you're going to go and you're going to research it, and you're going to come back on here and you're going to tell us what you think, because it's damn sure that's not going to happen with the government. I will give you a spoiler alert. There was allegedly foreign money involved and an internal job. And do you remember Joe Kent, head of counterterrorism, deputy director to Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence? They wanted information from the FBI on possible foreign involvement in killing Charlie. And Patel refused. And Susie Wiles, Netanyahu's, one of her chief campaign, his chief campaign planners, was in that meeting, and they said, "No, we're not giving it to you. We got our guy. It's over." Do I have your attention? This is about ready to get really big. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Let's assume that only 25% of what Project Constitution says is true. It's enough to open up a major federal investigation. Oh, I don't think it's 25%, but I'll leave it to you to decide how much, and do we give it weight? And then after this dies down a little bit, then I'm going to come back and give you the receipts for, let's put it this way, improper money mistakes. And by the way, the IRS, I'm still waiting on my letter telling me I'm not under investigation. Those who've been following me probably just got a chuckle. The rest of you, I'll explain it to you later. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.